talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Talking about Dawson's Creek.
Welcome back to Creek Talk. This is Steven.
And I'm Jamie.
And this week, we're recapping Season 6, Episode 11, Day Out of Days.
You're funny.
That's what it's called, right? Days Out of Days? Yeah.
The way you said, welcome back to Creek Talk, you were like so slow about it. I'm like, I felt like you were one of those those seductive caller thing, the sex phone operator. I don't know.
Welcome back to Creek Talk. That's my mood today, I guess.
Apathetic. Slow motion.
I'm mentally drained today. I had a rough day at work. But anyway, Jamie, did you like this episode? I feel like we just said this, right? Did you like this
episode? We did. I did like this episode. I remembered half of it, I guess. Not all of the events, but half of the events.
Yeah, same. Honestly, I didn't remember a lot of it, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was a good episode. It was not a great episode, but it was a lot happened in it, I feel like. And Dawson's getting his dream.
Mm-hmm.
His dream is coming true. And I thought Todd was going to be more upset with him, but he wasn't. He was like, take your opportunity, dude. You know?
Yeah. I think Todd recognizes that Dawson busts his butt. So he's like, it's time to do it. Maybe he did that on purpose. Maybe he moved out of the way on purpose. Because he smiled like when Dawson was like, listen, like, we need to fix this and blah, like whatever, when they were talking in the hallway. And he had like this little smile on his face. Mm-hmm. And they went back in the room and he was really calm. Until whatever, and then he was like, yeah, you know what, I'm done. And then he walked out, and I'm like, that was such a weird reaction.
Especially when Dawson was trying to get him to calm down, because he was like, they're going to get someone else to do your movie. So, like, calm your tits, Todd.
No, I agree.
I don't know if this is the last that we see of Eddie, though. Like, is he ever coming back? Is that it?
I think we see Eddie for a minute, because Joey tracks him down, and I'm pretty sure they get into an argument on the porch of somebody's house.
Oh.
And then he's done. But I don't remember. But I'm very unhappy with him, and it just goes to show the level of maturity that this guy has with the way he handled the situation in this episode. And by handle, I mean didn't handle. He went ghost and moved without saying anything to Joey at all. He's just ghosted her.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that he just totally up and ghosted her, and he moved. He was like,
he literally moved. Yeah. Like, the level of maturity in this episode is just terrible. I'm telling you, man, there's a reason why I didn't like him, and I was ready for it to be over. So
how about how they're trying to redeem CJ with Jen? I'm like, this is the dumbest story line I've ever seen. Like,
they're going to move on from the love interest into just him as just being like a friend character. That's it.
But the fact that she's like working there and they're being normal with each other, and he's like, it's like, we're not supposed to remember how he acted at that concert.
I know. I don't know how he convinced her or how she showed up. Like, I don't really get why she even bothered, but whatever. And that's why she's got, like, a hostile attitude this entire time. Because they have unresolved issues.
But I don't get it. Like, he should have been, like, gone. They should have been like, all right, we don't need you anymore.
Right.
It's so weird. He's such an odd character to me. I don't get it. Ugh, anyway. Well, we will break it down in a moment. But why don't we do a quick catch up and talk about what we did over the weekend? How about that?
Okay, let's do that.
Well, what's new with you, Jamie?
Nothing too exciting. However, on Friday on Netflix, Millie Bobby Brown's new movie just came out called Damsel.
Oh, yeah. Justin watched that with the baby.
I loved it.
Is it good?
Yeah, I watched it twice.
Oh, maybe I should.
I watched it by myself, and then I watched it with Chi and Chris, and like they liked it too. So,
it's about a dragon, right?
Sort of. It's not a fairy tale, that's for sure. There is a dragon in it. I guess it is about a dragon. I guess, yeah, sure, we'll go with that. Yeah, it's a dragon. I mean, it's a whole story. It's a whole story about this royalty, you know what I mean, where they sacrifice these girls every probably generation. For centuries, and then, you know, in walks L from Stranger Things kicking ass. They chose the wrong girl, needless to say.
Oh, I'll have to watch it then. I did see the preview of it, and I was tempted to watch it, but then
Yeah, for like 2 weeks I was posting it online because it kept popping up and I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait. Oh my God, I can't wait. This looks so good. It was really good. I liked it.
oh, okay. I watched that Wonk, the new Wonka movie with Timothée Chalamet,
Oh, I didn't even know
whatever.
that came out. How was it?
You know, I didn't hate it, but I didn't actually love it either. But it was like a prequel
I was
story.
gonna say, is it because they made like you have Charlie in the Chocolate Factory and then Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. I'm like, is it the same thing or is this about Wonka before Charlie? Like,
Yeah.
what is it? It's Wonka before Charlie. How
Yeah,
Wonka
and
became Wonka.
yeah, pretty much. And like how
Okay.
he his chocolate is like the best in the world, and like it was actually pretty funny. Like some parts were funny, and it's a musical, which I was kind of surprised about that.
Interesting. Is it streaming on anything
It's
or?
on Max.
Oh, really? Okay. I have that. I can look that. Okay.
And
Add
one
it
of
to my
the
list.
songs he was singing did get stuck in my head, I'm not gonna lie. But I
Well,
was
don't
like,
tell me what it is because I'm gonna watch it and then I'll have to see if it's the same song that gets stuck in my head. I'll find out.
I felt like they could go on and make other movies now, like with
Okay.
this character. So, but that's all you did was watch a movie.
I did other things too, but I'm not gonna divulge that. I'm trying to think if I did anything else interesting. No. And then on Sunday, normal cleaning. And then I've just been busy with work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, nothing else that's really been interesting.
Well, we went to the bookstore on Saturday. That was good.
Did you get any books?
Yeah, I found a lot of stuff.
Did you find?
I found some Buffy books, some like 90s YA books that I could resell. Some of them are really good copies, so I was going to check and see which ones I have and see if I can switch them out. But you know, I go to that store now looking through like their Funko Pops, and I look through like their like random stuff, and they have this like they look like Legos, but it's something else. It's named something else, and it was like a Snoopy thing.
Is
And
it Mega Blocks?
no, they're called nano blocks.
Nano, like small?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So wait, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy this for myself. Like there's no price on it. And when I get to check out, my bill's like $40. And I was like, what the fuck did I just pay for? And I look on the receipt, this thing was like $20. This little thing was $20. Like I always have a coupon when I go to that store anyway, but still I was like, what the fuck? This is so small. This is not worth $20.
Have
But
you ever tried to buy Lego? Lego is crazy expensive.
well, yeah, I have the two friend sets, the coffee house and the apartment, and I haven't even opened them yet. I said I was gonna do them when I have like a comfortable place to do them.
I love Legos, but I don't have anywhere to build them or put them.
I could do it on the table back here, but we've been eating dinner out here. Plus, I don't want Michael to get into all of it, you know? Like
Yeah, I know.
somebody gave Justin a whole Lego kit, and there's so many pieces to it that he gave it to him the one night, and he was like losing shit, and he was like, that's it, we were too young.
He's not the right age for Legos. Like, I think Lego is like 8 and up or 9 and up or something.
Yeah, because he plays with those like bigger blocks, the bigger things, like he does
Yeah,
the
the bigger ones are more age appropriate for him.
so he
But
does
like actual
them.
Legos, not even that, but they're small. They're choking hazards.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like we took him to Five Below a couple weeks ago, and he picked out this little crane toy, SpongeBob crane toy, and I opened it up for him, and the pieces looked like little candies, and they fell on the floor, and he went and he put it in his mouth. I was like, "No, get it out of your mouth!" And I said, "You're not playing with this now." I said, "Don't put it in your mouth," and he did, and
Yeah, they're choking hazards. These kids put everything in their mouths.
he did it so fast, and I was like, "Get it out of your mouth!"
Yep. Because it's small. It looks like food or candy, and it's just like whoop, real
It
quick.
did. It
And then
looked
it's
like
not up their
candy.
mouth, it's up their nose. Like any orifice that it'll fit.
I don't remember doing that shit as a kid. Honestly, I don't remember like putting like weird objects in my mouth and eating it and swallowing it. Oh, although
Me
my mom
neither.
did, I did swallow an Italian horn, like in a chain. I
See,
swallowed that when I was a kid.
my
Okay.
brother almost swallowed a piece of a light bulb.
Oh my God, that's dangerous.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that. That was a fun freak out. I don't remember if I ever did, but I was also like I remember being really small and having Polly Pockets and not ever swallowing those. So I don't know. And I mean like the Polly Pockets,
Yeah.
the real Polly Pockets, not like the little mini dolls and stuff.
But it was raining really bad on Saturday, but it was nice to go for a ride.
Like a drive?
Yeah, it was nice to just go for a drive. And then when we got home, I was like, let's just go in now. Like, he's so funny. I'm like, you want to go put on our pajamas and just snuggle? You want to go in the lay and snuggle in bed? And he's like, yeah.
My favorite pastime.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, Jamie. I got home. I took my pants off and I put sweatpants on. And I was like, I'm getting in bed and relaxing. And we did.
The only other thing that was exciting, really, this is the extent of my excitement, right? I had a dream about dip, like chips and French onion dip. So I went to the store and I got some chips and French onion dip, and it's almost gone. There's like this much left of it, and this was last night.
I mean, there's
That's
like hardly
yesterday.
anything in those things, so.
Yeah, I know, especially when you have like big scoops, and I was sharing with the kids, so.
I remember when my parents would make dip as a kid. It was like
I
such
know
a
there was like a
treat.
powder and
Yeah.
like a whatever. I mean, you could still do it. It was like sour
That's
cream and like the dip, the French onion powder or whatever.
all it was.
Yeah,
Sour
that's
cream
it.
in the powder, like the
I'm
packet.
like, oh my God, you guys are so fancy. Well, not me, I just buy the jar already done, but like.
Yeah, like whenever we had parties, my parents always put it in a Pyrex bowl and it'd be in the fridge and we'd bring it out. And I remember I made it for the first time. I was like, that's all dip is.
That's all it is. And it's always surrounded by veggies or chips and pretzels, depending on what you
I always
like.
ate it
But
with chips.
yeah, I mean, I'll use chips. I'll also use it with like carrots and broccoli and whatever and green, like whatever. But also ranch works just as well.
Oh,
Ranch is better.
you know what I made today for lunch?
Ranch.
I ate ranch, but I just squeezed it in my mouth. We have what's it called? Waffle fries. So I made some like loaded waffle fries and they were really good. I like inhaled the shit out of those cheese. Anyway, we didn't really do anything on Sunday, I don't think so. I think we just kind of like, oh no,
Sunday's
we
usually our
did.
clean day.
Sunday we did. We went for a walk and it was so nice out. And then all of a sudden, this like random like snow squall came through as we're walking. And
Oh.
yeah, it was crazy. And we were took him in the coach and he had on his heavy coat and everything. Because by the time we were leaving, Justin was like, it's really cold out. And I was like, oh God, I should have worn my heavy coat. So we like went into this like little store and got him hat and gloves because like I could not find his hat and gloves. We go into the bookstore and he took off the hat and I have no idea where he put it. And we were looking all over for it. And like, Michael, where's your hat? And he's like laughing at me. And I'm like, where'd you put your hat, Michael? Your head's gonna be cold now. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like,
Oh
where's
my
your hat,
God.
Michael? Oh my God. So I have no idea what happened to the hat. It just disappeared. But
Probably
he's
threw it when you weren't looking.
Yeah, I mean, I looked up and down those aisles, and I have no idea where he put. So he like hides things. So he'll like grab things off my desk or like the remote or whatever, and he'll hide shit. And I find it like days later. Like he hid my keys once, and I found them like 2 days later, and I was freaking out because I was like, I need my house keys. And he hid this thing. I have two of these things from work, from my
Oh
phone.
yeah.
But I keep it near my bed. He hid the one that's near my bed. And I have no idea where he put it. And I keep asking him, and he goes, I don't know. I'm like, where the fuck is it?
Goodness.
I
Eventually, it'll probably be like the same places that he'll hide it. You'll get used to his hiding spots.
Well,
I'm just sort of hiding in the same spots.
he took the Wi-Fi extender out like the first weekend he was here, and he hit, and I didn't realize it was gone until we came home. And I was like, where the fuck did he put the Wi-Fi extender? So I was looking all over and then I found it under the bed. It was on top of like a crate of clothes that I have under there. So I was like, maybe that's where he put the other thing. And no, it's not under there. When he took my keys, he hid them in a bag. Like Justin has a bag of like paperwork, just like in a bag on a doorknob in the living room. And he threw them in there.
He's
And
a punk.
he is. He's a little jerk sometimes.
He's a punk.
He thinks he's funny. He'll snatch shit as he's running out of the room, and he laughs, and then they disappear. He'll take our like spatulas and stuff, and
How's he reaching this stuff?
well, that's on the like on that baker shelf thing that's in my kitchen. It's not like up high because I have no counter space, so it's like
Well,
up.
no, I know.
But he takes the spatulas and he throws them behind the couch, And I'm like, where the fuck's my spatula? And then I go look behind the couch and it's back behind the couch.
What a little prankster you got.
No, he's really funny, but then he does that stuff and I get annoyed.
Yeah, because he thinks it's funny.
But yeah, that's it. That was it for me. Nothing else new. Some big news hit yesterday, Jamie.
What?
Neve Campbell's returning to Scream 7, and
Oh,
the father of Dawson's Creek is directing it. Can you believe
I
it?
know. You said there was a whole like uproar. Everybody's super excited about it.
People are excited about it, and then there's like this controversy over them working for Spyglass Media because they fired Melissa Barrera. So, I don't know what's happening, but I'm excited to hear that she's coming back and that he's directing because it's, he created that whole franchise and
Right.
it's exciting that he's directing this movie. So I hope it's a really good, I hope it turns out really well. I am sad that Melissa Barrera is not coming back because I did become such a fan of hers and those characters of those last two movies. So who knows? Maybe they'll hire her back. Maybe it was like there was a stipulation in their contract that she had to come back to the film. Who knows? We'll see.
I guess we will, but that's exciting news. I'm sure most of the people are really excited about it.
But anyway, I'm glad you had a nice weekend. I'm glad that you got your French onion dip and you watched your movie. And I'm glad that I'm still eating Chick-fil-A for whatever reason. All right, Jamie, why don't we break this episode down now? What do you say? You want
Sounds like a plan,
to talk
Stan.
about this episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
If people only knew the shit that I take out of this.
Even for our Patreons.
That was literally like almost 15 minutes of a rabbit hole that you just went down. So
Yeah. And you let it happen. You're like, all right, we're gonna go down this. Let's learn about Chick-fil-A versus LGBT,
I
and
was just
then
listening
all of
to
the
you as
meanings of LGBT 15 like thousand things.
I was just listening to you as I was scrolling through Facebook agreeing with you.
As I just get really like increasingly and increasingly more confused.
You were. Your face was so confused. I was like, Jamie, I don't understand any of it either. So you're asking the wrong person.
My gosh.
All right, this week we're recapping season 6, episode 11, Day Out of Days, aired January 15th, 2003, written by Gina Fattori and directed by Robert Duncan McNeil. All right, so we open on the set of Wicked Dead, Todd's film, and they're rapping, and we get this screen that says Monday. It's 12:07 a.m. on a Monday, sometime in January, we find out.
Did you like it? Was it the Shining vibes? Hold on, let me look this up real quick. I think Shining did something like this. Hold on.
Oh, like told you like the day of the week.
Yeah. It's been a minute since I've watched The Shining.
I never thought The Shining was that great of a movie.
Okay, well, rude.
I hate when people ask what their favorite scary movie is, and they're like, oh my God, The Shining. It's so terrifying. I'm like,
I
don't.
didn't think that it's terrifying. I think it's a really good movie.
I don't
It's
know. I
like
think it's
a
very subpar. I just didn't get it.
that's probably why.
Like I got it. I just didn't get it. I just thought it was just like whatever. I
And
remember
it's a
watching it.
possession. The hotel possesses the caretaker. The caretaker kills his family. There's not much to
Well,
it.
he doesn't really kill them. They survive because there's a sequel.
Well, these guys survive, but most of them don't. Like, and you know, all the ghosts and stuff that pop up has to do with all the murders that happen at the hotel, at Outlook Hotel. And some of them are from the families of the caretakers on off season.
Yeah,
It's
I
just about a like possessed hotel that like a you know like a haunted hotel that takes possession of its caretakers who go crazy slowly and then kill their families that are with them, and they just turn
Wait.
into murderers.
So wait, what was your point with the movie and Dawson's
I'm
Creek?
pretty sure in the movie, it's just been a minute since I've watched it, but I'm pretty sure in the movie there are like these scenes where like when the days change or something, and it's like a blackout screen.
Oh.
And it'll have like the date or whatever. So you can see the time progression as the movie carries on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that happened in the movie, but I feel like I can't be 100% confident on it because it's been a minute since I've watched The Shining and I could be thinking about something else.
I mean, I think it's like an
But anyways, that's what I thought of when I saw it.
I think it's like a that's something that they do a lot in movies though and TV shows. So it could be.
Yeah,
Maybe
that's what it reminded me of, so that's what I'm going with. Yeah.
I'll watch it and find out.
You should, but I don't know, like, will you sit through it? Would you be able to sit through it?
Yeah. If I like devote myself to watching it, yeah, I'll sit and watch it.
You should. And then there's one that happens later. It's the Doctor Strange
Yeah, I watched that recently. I really liked it.
with Ewan McGregor. Yeah, Ewan McGregor is supposed to be the little boy from The Shining all grown up.
Yes.
So I think you should watch it. And then I think I'm gonna have to figure out where I can watch it so I can watch it too. I don't have the movies with me. All my movies are in New Jersey, so I cannot watch them. I have them on Blu-ray.
Well, I guess you're gonna have to go fly to New Jersey to get your Blu-ray player, your Blu-ray DVDs.
I don't need the player. I just need the movies. I should have brought them. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, I was thinking that I don't want to bring a lot of shit. That's what I was thinking.
No. All right. So anyway, Todd is announcing that they finished principal photography and he's toasting to everyone and to the movie because like they finally like finished everything. They're wrapping the film. So then Natasha comes over and she looks miserable as fuck.
Dude, she's so hostile in this scene for
Yeah.
no reason. Hostile. And
I
she's the
thought they
only
ended
part
on
of
good
it.
terms. I was so confused.
No, not really. She was just basically like, I'm out of here. You're reading too much into this. You know, this wasn't gonna last. Like, blah, 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 blah. I'm not in love with you. Like, I don't want to say that it was shitty terms, but it
No.
definitely wasn't in like happy terms.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how I took it too, because in a prior episode, she acted like it's all about your e her ego. And I guess because.
Exactly. And now her ego is, you know, hurt because he didn't chase after her after she stormed off. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. She's a little bipolar in this episode. Like, I just, bye, Felicia.
Yeah, I was over Natasha last episode. So to see her again this episode, I was like, whatever. But Natasha tells him that it's strange that all of this will be gone tomorrow, like it never existed. And he's like, oh, hey, Natasha. And she's like, nice speech. Obviously, you wrote it. There was a hint of something bittersweet, or was it just bitter? And he's like, that's what rap
She's
parties
the
are all
bitter
about.
one, though, bro. There was nothing bitter in that scene. There's nothing bitter in the speech that Todd gave. She's the one that's bitter, though. Like, there is nothing bitter in that speech that Todd gave at all. She is the bitter
Oh.
one. She's the bitter one. She's bitter.
She's a bitch.
That, too. That, too.
So she's like, are you gonna go back to LA? And he says, yeah, I'm going back with Todd. Are you? And she says, yeah, Max Winter got me a small part in that Spielberg film. It might lead to some bigger things, I don't know. And
Is
he's
she
like,
trying to make him jealous by bringing up Max? What do you think?
no, I think she was just being honest with him. He asked her what she was doing, and she's like an actress. She's like, this is my next gig. And I think Dawson knew that potentially that might have happened because she did admit that they fucked around and, you know.
Yeah, and that's what these people apparently do in order to get jobs. So.
So Dawson says, you know, knowing you, Natasha, I'm sure it will. She goes, was that a hint of an attitude? A break in the oh so professional onset demeanor you've been cultivating since the new year? And he's like, not everyone on the planet is acting every second of their lives like you. And she says, no, they aren't. But in Hollywood, they are. And she tells him goodbye and they hug each other. And she's like, good luck out there. I have a funny feeling about you. And he's like, oh, what's that? And she goes, that you're gonna need it, need it, need it.
She's so unnecessarily hostile towards him for some reason. I don't get it.
You know what it is, because she needs to get laid, and she's like, he's not going to fuck me anymore. Although Dawson could easily just jump back into that and just have fun sex with her because they're not together. They both agreed that they don't love each other. They were just having fun. So he could go back, but I guess he has more like, he's got principles, you know? Dawson Leary's got principles.
After her attitude and everything, the way everything went down, I'm pretty sure he's like, I'm not dealing with that drama anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would either. I'd be like, fuck you. You fuck somebody behind my back. Go fuck yourself. Natasha. This
Yeah, I mean,
floppy hair.
it's not like they were open about this relationship in the beginning. They weren't. So like, how is he to be prepared while you're sleeping around and he's not even aware of it?
At least, like, have a better understanding of your relationship before, you know, you let the other person down. I don't know. I think she was in the wrong the whole time.
I agree.
We get the opening credits, and then when we come back, Joey's on the phone at Hell's Kitchen and she's calling Eddie. We get the title card. This is Tuesday. She's leaving a message telling Eddie that she's back at school, that Christmas wasn't that bad, but give me a call back, please. And she's walking by. She hears like a familiar voice, and we find out that Harley's at the bar flirting with some older men. And she's supposed to be like, Joey's like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you not in school? We do find out that Harley's 15 years old, though. So this is the same age Joey was when the show started.
These people just like not card when you walk into a bar, apparently. I don't
I
get this
know.
bar. I don't get this bar because they treat it like it's a restaurant where you can be there at 18 under the age. You just can't order alcohol, I guess, unless it was legal then. But I don't think so because everybody drinks not beer, they drink soda, right? When all the friends are together, they don't drink any
Well,
alcohol.
I guess it's like a b restaurant bar, and at night they might card more. I've seen places like
Right.
that.
Right. It's very confusing. I've never seen a restaurant. I've never seen a bar like that because it looks like a bar,
Yeah.
like an actual bar with seats. A lot of bars look like that. You know what I mean? Everywhere. They all have like a couple of booths, couple of single stairs, and then you sit at the bar. This place looks like a damn bar. It doesn't look like a restaurant bar where you could like do that. But I mean, whatever. But this girl clearly looks like she's well underage. Well underage.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how nobody's noticed it.
She looks like a baby. Like she really does.
Yes, she does.
So she's like, what are you doing here? Christmas vacation is long over for the Brittany and Christina set. And she's like, I'm not on vacation. I live here now. And then she's like, where's Eddie? He's the only nice person that I know in Boston. And he still owes me a root beer float. Well, bitch, you're never getting that root beer float. They barely ate that root beer float.
Right? That does sound good, though. I would actually like a root beer float right now.
So Joey's smiling and she's like, what are you laughing at? She's like, it's funny that now you're living with your father full time. It's sort of payback because he's such a dick. And Joey's like, why are you not in school? And Harley's like, well, I ditched some lame field trip, Joey. And Joey's like, why? And she's like, you would too if your life was ruined. And Joey's like, you're being melodramatic. Meanwhile, Joey was just called melodramatic in the last episode and she lost her mind.
Right, but not for nothing. I loved field trips because it was literally an escape from the normal monogamy that was our daily lives. So,
Monogamy, you mean monotony?
dude, I can't speak today. Monotony. Yeah, that's what I mean. All right, so I loved field trips because it was an escape from the monotony that was our daily lives. There we go. Words.
Take
English.
two.
I got this. I swear I can speak.
Yeah, I liked field trips in school. I don't remember going on many in high school, though. I think we went to the play a couple of times, but that was it. I mean, I don't remember doing many.
I think for me, the only ones that I ever did for high school was for electives for my photography class. We had field trips for
Oh,
that.
yeah, I did stuff for like my Latin class and stuff like that and class
Yeah.
Congress.
Those. The regular, like, other than that, it wasn't like a school field trip where everybody would go. You know what I mean? The way it was like in middle school or even elementary school. High school, I feel like it was for something specific.
Yeah. So Harley's like, or no, Joey's like, your life isn't ruined. And she's like, yeah, right. Like you would know what it's like to have your life ruined. And Joey's like, really, Harley? Did you not listen to anything she said last episode you were on? She basically told you she has a deadbeat dad and like he ruined her life. This girl doesn't listen. So Harley wants to know where Eddie is still, and Joey says he's not here anymore. I don't know exactly where he is. And Harley's like, I can't believe you messed it up with him. He was amazing. He was beyond amazing. I was like, no, Harley, he wasn't. He was a putz. And all he did was sleep
Was
with
he
her.
though? My answer is no. The man was way too immature, and he continues to show his immaturity this episode.
Yeah, ghosting her. So Joey's like, I'll get you your root beer float, but you have to go back to school. I don't care how miserable it is, it's just life. Life is miserable. So then we cut to Pacey and he's at the aquarium and he happens to see Emma at the aquarium as well. And he startles her. She's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm on my lunch. I take my lunch here. And he's like, "Can I join you?" And she goes, "Yeah, but don't sit too close. I don't want anyone to know you're with me, mate."
You're starting to sound like Forrest Gump. Jenny.
Don't think Emma's on the show much longer, so I'm trying to give it all I can like muster up. I'm like tired today. I'm like, mate.
I know, me too.
So, they have this whole back and forth about how he goes there on his lunch hour, and she's there because apparently something happens at 1 p.m., which I never really found out what happens at 1 p.m. And he doesn't know what it is because he's not there at one. So then she doesn't even tell him what it is. She's like, "Well, then you better get going then, mate, because it's 12:46." And he's like, "All right, see ya. I got to go back to my stockbroker job and deal with my douchebag boss who tells me I have to work all my lunch, which makes absolutely no sense." Like, I would be like, "Rich, you're not making me work on my..." All right, we're not even at that scene yet, but still, I was like, he cannot make him work on his lunch. Like, that's illegal. You're allowed,
Yeah,
you
right.
have to get like a certain amount of time break during your work hours. He's like, "I control your life, Witter." He's such an asshole. He really is.
He's on a high horse for sure, but
Yeah,
like,
he looks
I
like a
don't know.
horse.
I know that it varies. I know that it varies state by state, and it depends on how many hours you work, but he clearly works full time, so
Yeah, he's
yeah.
always working. That's all he talks about is work. That's all he do is work. So we cut to Jen, and she's taking a phone call at the stand, the helpline, but it's not a real phone call. So CJ, she's like really into it. You know, she's giving it all her all, but she's being like very Jen about it. You know, she's being kind of like, she's like a little annoyed, it sounds like.
She's definitely a little annoyed, and she's kind of sounds like she's still on the radio station where she could get away with that. But the people that are, this is different than the radio station because these are people that are already in a delicate situation, like a delicate mental
Oh
state.
yeah, I didn't even think of that. Like the same
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, it's like a radio station where everybody's listening, but it's like, you know, I could be more blunt. But in this case, these people calling in here are probably in a little bit more of a delicate mental state. So you have to just kind of be mindful of that. And I think Jess is probably Jess. Jen is having a little bit of a difficulty grasping that, but I'm sure she's also frustrated and like a little bit like hostile with whom her company is right now.
Exactly. So CJ tells her to stop because she's not taking the right approach to the call. He says, "Let's just stop because I don't want to fight. I get annoyed and you get defensive. Let's just move on to the next one." And she's like, "Let's not. I quit." She's like, "I give up. I'm not doing this anymore." And CJ's like, "You can't quit. You haven't even started yet. This is your first hour of training." And Jen says, "If the training consists of sitting here for a week listening to you act superior to me." And CJ's like, "Look, I've been doing this for 2 years." And Jen says, "Great, then maybe your expertise will come in handy when we get to a hypothetical situation involving casual sex and a couple of blonde girls." And she kind of looks at him like, "I didn't mean to say that, but I did."
She totally meant to.
And CJ's like, "Let's just call it a day. But whether you come back or not, you should make it about you and not me. Because it's not about me, Jen. It's about you, not me. And you helping the people at the stand." The fucking stand. They named their help group after a Stephen King book.
Right? You know what's funny? So you were thinking about Stephen King, and I was like a fruit stand. That's what I was thinking
A
of.
fruit stand.
Fruit stand.
Well, they call it The Stand. So, like, The Stand is a book by Stephen King. Isn't it
There's also
about.
a TV show. There's a TV show now on it.
Yeah, isn't it about like the apocalypse or something?
Something like that. I watched it actually, and it was very good. I cannot for the life of me remember what it was about at this point in time. It was very apocalyptic, but I watched it like when it first came out.
So we cut to Jack and David. They're at the free clinic getting tested, and Jack's just really nervous. He's like a nervous fucking wreck. And David's upset. Like he's getting nervous too, and he's like, "Are you all right?" And David's like, "Yeah, I can't find any good magazines." And that would be me. That's me at any doctor's office. I'm like, I need a good magazine to read.
I just get lost on my phone.
Mean, I do now, but I'm always, if there's magazines out, I always look for them. And David's like, "You know, there's nothing to be nervous about. I've done this a million times." And Jack's like, "A million?" And David's like, well, I would be a hypocrite if I didn't practice what I preach. And he's like, you're right, you're right. So then the nurse calls Jack back to read his chart. I guess, or no, I guess she has his chart. She brings Jack back, I guess, to get tested. They're getting tested for HIV and stuff. They're like just getting tested for STDs.
Yeah, I mean, probably general workup of like STDs and HIV and all of that stuff. If they're getting serious and probably contemplating sexual relations, at least this boy is responsible enough to be like, we are being serious. We should look into this. We should get tested. As opposed to the flings that Jack had, where he was just, willy-nilly about it and probably didn't even think about checking.
I mean, I don't know what Jack's situation is in the bedroom. Like, I hope he's using protection.
Me too. Me too.
That
Let's
way,
give Jack the benefit of the doubt. He seems like a
yeah.
smart. He's a smart guy.
I mean, it was a different time. You know, there weren't all these medications out where gay guys aren't really using protection anymore, which is crazy to me. But, you know, just because you're taking certain medications doesn't mean you're not like you can't,
Susceptible.
yeah.
Susceptible.
Yeah, like you can catch like fucking crabs or something. Like you don't know. But yeah, they're getting tested together. It's like so adorable. They're both getting blood drawn so they can fuck each other. We cut to Dawson and Todd. They're back in LA and they're in a meeting with the producers of this movie. And Heather's back, played by Nicole Bilderbach, who's now like our friend who talks to us on social media.
Yay!
Wait a minute. The other guy that's in this scene, he played the principal from The Breakfast Club, and I had his name up. His name's Larry something.
Oh. I thought he looked familiar. I just couldn't place it.
Yeah, he's in everything. I wrote his name down, but I totally forgot all about it. So it's Heather, and it's another producer of the film named Larry Newman, played by Paul Gleason, who's like a veteran actor of many things. Character actor Paul Gleason was adept at playing tough guys and white-collar sleazebags, making his film debut in Winter a Go-Go in 1965. He made a name for himself portraying these unlikable characters, a native of New Jersey, New Jersey. Gleason studied extensively at the Actors Studio in New York City in the mid-60s with Lee Strasberg, his mentor. Blah, blah, blah. He was in National Lampoon's Van Wilder, Miami Blues, Trading Places, All My Children. And he played Richard Vernon in The Breakfast Club. He also guest starred in numerous television series, including Hill Street Blues, Dawson's Creek, and Friends. Gleason passed away of mesothelioma, a rare form of lung cancer, at a Burbank, California hospital on May 29th, 2006, at the age of 67. Wow.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, he's in this movie. And I instantly recognized him from The Breakfast Club. So they are getting notes back. Todd and Dawson are getting notes back about the film. They're telling him that the film's dull, or it's mind-numbingly dull, and they want to do reshoots. And we see Heather give Todd this look like, you failed, you know?
I knew it was gonna fail.
And Larry's telling them that they're trying to make the movie watchable. So Todd's like, I need to go smoke because this is stressing me out. Todd doesn't like criticism, obviously.
No, but I mean, I feel like that's probably the way with a lot of creative artists in this kind of mean. Like,
I mean,
it's.
it's anybody. If like somebody's putting down your work, you're like,
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, in a creative
but
statue, if somebody's put all this time and effort and energy and like thought into this project, and then for to turn around and be like, everybody hates it. I mean, you'd probably feel some kind of way about it.
I mean, except for us, when people tell us they absolutely hate us and they hate our podcast, I'm always like, all right, so don't listen to it.
Yeah, that's fair. But we're also, I don't know. No, you're right.
I don't
We're
care
more
if
go
people
with the
like us
flow.
or
We're like,
not.
whatever. That's
If I
fine.
was like, if people didn't like my writing, maybe I would be upset. No, you know what, Jamie? I don't really care, honestly. If it was like a big name like person like reviewing us, I would be offended. I'd be like, why? Like that's not good. That's not good publicity, you know? But I don't know.
What did they say? All publicity is good publicity, whether it's positive or negative, because at least people are talking.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Since starting a podcast and being on social media more and more with podcast stuff, I really don't care if people like it or not. I like the people that do enjoy us and listen to us and send us like great feedback and like
Me too. I
support.
love those people. We love you guys.
I mean, I don't hate the people that tell us that they don't like us. Not that we get that many, but like I just don't care. I'm not doing it for you then. So he's like, "Go find me a lighter, Dawson." So then Dawson's like, okay. So Dawson throws his cell phone into Todd's jacket pocket and he goes out in the hall and he calls him and he's like, "Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone, Todd." So Todd answers and he's like, "Just shut up and come out in the hall before you dig yourself into a deeper hole." So they're like, "Where are you going?" And he's like, "I gotta go talk to a moron out in the hallway."
He was like another moron out in the hallway. I gotta go talk
Yeah.
to another moron.
So Todd's like, "Dawson, what's the deal?" And Dawson's like, "You need to just sit there and listen to them because if you don't go in and act happy about what they want, then they'll find someone else to shoot these reshoots." And he tells Todd that he wants this thing to be as good as as it possibly can because I don't think I would have stuck it out working for you this whole time if you didn't want the same thing. And Todd goes like this.
Enter the slow smile smirk, an
Yeah.
idea that formed in his mind.
Oh yeah, probably. He was like, "All right, I'm gonna go in there and act like a fucking idiot and act like I don't care." So yeah, he goes back in. They're telling Todd that they can do 3 days of reshoots in LA with minimal budget, and they need to shoot a new ending that's watchable and makes sense. And Heather is very confident that he can pull it off. And Todd's like, "That's very charitable of you. Thank you, sweetheart." That's not how he sounds, but whatever. I don't care. So then Todd gets up. And I was like, "Should I redo it?" But I don't really care. Todd gets up and he goes on this little tangent and basically tells them all to go fuck off. He's like, "I'm not doing it. My movie's fine. I'm not doing anything further with this film." And he's like, "I'm not taking your offer." And he leaves. And he just leaves Dawson sitting there like with his head's about to pop off. 'Cause he's like, "You didn't listen to anything that I said." So I guess working for Todd is just very like nerve-wracking.
It must be. And I mean, Dawson even said it, like, this is why you hired me. You hired me because of how calm and level-headed I am in, stressful or like panic-inducing situations. Listen to me when I tell you how to do this, and he just does the opposite.
It's so ridiculous. You would think like he would just go in and just do what Dawson said, because Dawson does seem to know better than his Hollywood director, but he's so stuck on his own like
High horse.
yeah, he's got like too much pride. So now it's Wednesday. Joey's leaving Hetson's class, that prick, and she goes to talk to him, and he immediately gets like super snarky about her grade and how she can't drop the class. He's like, "No, Joey, you can't drop the class without forfeiting your credits from the first semester." And she's like, "Fuck you, Hetson. I'm not here to talk to you about that." She's like, "I hate you. You're toxic. I don't want to be standing here talking to you any more than you want to be listening to me." So then Joey tells him that Harley's been cutting class. And he's like, "I'm not sure why you're telling me this." And Joey says, "She skipped a field trip yesterday and came into the bar, and I have no idea where she went when she left. But call me crazy. I just thought you
So
should know where your kid is."
it's so funny because he's like, I don't know why you're telling me this. That's probably not my first reaction. I've been like, how do you know this? And I
Yeah.
don't. How do you
Exactly.
even know anything about my kid? How do
Yeah.
you know that she's here? You know what I mean?
Well, the only reason she knows who his kid is because of him. So, like, he should be happy that she's fucking updating him about his child and where she's at.
Exactly. Because if it wasn't for Joey, if it wasn't for this girl knowing to go to the bar or whatever and running into Joey, he would never have any idea what his daughter's up to ever.
He's a scumbag, this guy. Like, I know later in the episode they sort of come to some weird truce, but he really is a piece of shit, man. I don't like him. He's so mean to her for no
He's
reason
just got a
other than to
lot
be.
of ego, dude. He's got a lot of ego. No wonder why he and his wife are splits go. Splits go? Splitsy? Splitsy?
Splitsville.
Whatever.
She's in Bangladesh. He's like, the subtext being, "These are the things that father would know if you were paying attention." She's like, "I didn't say that, dummy." And he's like, "Let's make another one of our famous deals. You stay out of my life, and I'll do my very best to stay out of yours." She's like, "Gladly. I thought this might be about something other than your gigantic male ego." And the only thing I noticed was that Hudson grew his hair out. He's growing his hair out. Meanwhile, CJ got his hair cut. Hudson's growing his hair out.
I just am like, This guy, instead of being grateful, he's just jumping down her throat. I'm like, oh, okay, so you already knew that she skipped school? My bad. Don't worry. I won't tell you about anything ever again if she happens to pop up at the bar again. You already know what's going on, so.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do in that situation, especially if I had a very toxic relationship with my professor. I would probably talk to the girl since I know her, but I don't think I would be giving updates to my professor. I would be like, it's none of my business. I'd be like,
I don't know. I would probably update my professor just because of safety reasons with a 15-year-old girl. She shouldn't be wandering around, especially at a bar, pretending she's of a higher age than she is, because that's dangerous. And Joey's not always going to be there to protect her. So it's important that her adult parent knows what's going on. I don't think that he handled it correctly at all.
no.
If I was in that teacher, even though my student is a student that I don't really like, but I trusted her enough to babysit my kid once, and she's coming to me to tell me that there's something going on with my daughter that I'm not aware of, I would not be a fucking dick about it. I'd be like, you know what? Thank you. Let me put my ego aside because my child is more important.
Right. Yeah.
That's where I'm going with it. Yeah.
No, that's exactly what a normal person would do, but he's just an asshole. We're at the aquarium again, Pacey and Emma, and Emma's explaining that her mom taught piano when she was a kid, and all of the students were allergic to dogs, which is why she had fish. And she's like, "What's your excuse for coming every day?" And he's like, "It's kind of like a window into the person that I used to be." He's like, "I'm not this conservative guy that I am today." And she's like, "Yeah, prove it. So stay." And she's like, "I can't because Rich will fire me." And she's like, "Is that such a bloody tragedy? That's such a bloody tragedy, Pacey." And she gives him her phone and she's like, "Call him. Tell him you're sick or something." And he's like, "Oh, are you serious about this?" And she's like, "Yeah, the question is, are you?" So he calls Rich and he starts fake coughing. I was like, this is the dumbest storyline I've ever heard. First of all, she's
I don't even know
going.
why these two are bonding right now. Like, why?
Because they had a connection in the one episode where they kissed each other. So now they're just sort of like, we're learning more about them. But I understand him going to the aquarium because it's his lunch break and he says he goes there for lunch or whatever. And now he's telling her it's sort of like a window into the person he used to be. I'm like, what does that mean? That's so stupid.
The only thing that I can think of is because it's water and fish and sea, and he used to basically live on a boat.
Right. I didn't even think of that.
That's
That's the only connection I could think of, too.
the only connection I've got, is it's about his past life where, you know, that was all he ever wanted to do was be on true love, be on the ocean, be out in the sea and explore. And he doesn't do that anymore. He's land bound, so the closest he gets to the ocean is the aquarium.
That would make sense. The person he used to be. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Wow, you would think I watched the show.
Only been talking about it for the past couple years.
Anyway, so now we're at the stand, and Jen's making practice calls with David. And this is when they discover that Jen is hostile and has anger issues. She says, "Can you tell me there's something wrong with expressing your emotions?" And Jack comes in to meet David. David says, "Do you think you guys can get along without me tomorrow?" So then Jack says, "The only reason you're hanging around here instead of wasting time with me is because these two can't manage to get along." And Jen's like, "Are you mad at me too? You can't loan me your boyfriend for one measly hour? Is he your boyfriend? Have you guys even kissed yet? Did I miss all of this over Christmas vacation?" And the two of them look at each other, make looks like, "What is she talking about?" Like, I don't want to talk about this. She's being an asshole. And
Oh
then.
no, she's starting to overstep a little bit when obviously they're not ready to talk about whatever it is they're doing.
Exactly. Because they're like, point proven, you're being a fucking asshole, Jen.
But then again, Jen and Jack were super, 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 super close, and they don't seem to be super, 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 super close anymore right now. Do you notice that?
Yeah, I thought that too. Oh
It's
my
not the
God.
Jack and Jen party, so I
I'm
don't know.
memeing now. Yeah, I thought that too, Jamie. I was like, what happened to their relationship? Because they were BFFs for the longest time. They had that little hiccup last season, but I felt like they were kind of coming back together. And they've been together this whole season with being in the same class and all this stuff. And, he's not talking to her now about
Yeah, they seem like they were
David.
getting together swimmingly They were getting together swimmingly before, you know. I don't know what's changed all of a sudden, but whatever, I guess.
Maybe she doesn't like David.
Maybe Jack is stealing her away, stealing him away, and no, David is stealing Jack away. There we go. And she's like, "No, it's my brother, man. My brother from another lover, mother."
Exactly.
What? Something like that.
So Jack's like, charming, let's go. And CJ goes, hostile, and then leaves the room. Dawson takes a meeting with Heather and Larry. Todd doesn't know about this.
Nope.
Todd has no idea that this is happening. Dawson did it all behind Todd's back. So Heather's like, you set this up. Because they're like, where's Todd? Is he even coming? And he's like, no, he's not coming. And Dawson like drops his notes. And he's like
And
knocking over
he's
his water
fumbling
bottle.
everywhere. He's like, I've never done this before by myself. I'm fumbling everywhere. I mean, he has kind of when he had a partner before when he was in school and his
That's
partner
what that
bailed on
reminded
him.
me of.
Yeah, when his partner bailed on him. I mean, it's kind of like that, only this time he's going there without knowingly, you know? I don't know.
No, when Todd started acting up, that reminded me of Oliver.
Yeah. Neurotic, man. Neurotic.
Yeah, fucking psychopath. So, Heather's like, so you set this meeting up to apologize for him, to clean up his mess like you've been doing all along? And
No.
he's like, well, not exactly.
Sort of, maybe.
So Heather says, our answer is right in front of us. Dawson knows everything about this film and the crew. I think he can
And
do
the
this.
cast.
And the
There's the crew,
cast.
the cast, the everything.
To the catering truck when they have to order food from a bar.
He even knows the delivery girl.
I
Dawson knows everybody. If anybody can handle, I mean, they're not on the East Coast anymore though. They're back in LA, so that doesn't really help
Oh,
with
that's
fashion.
true.
That's not gonna help.
Dawson has connections everywhere.
Dawson's there to save the day.
So Heather's like vouching for Dawson. She's like, I think he can do this. And
Yeah,
Dawson's
she's
like,
seen him though. She's seen them in action because the last time she was there, Dawson saved it again, doing his little clippy thing, what he did with the shot,
right.
saved the shot completely. She knows he can do it. He has a vision.
Yeah, I was like, Heather's like trying to save everything and help him out at the same time. So Dawson's like, this is insane. And Larry's like, hypothetically, if you had to, could you direct the reshoots of this movie? And Dawson's like, well, yeah, but Larry's like, call his agent. And Heather's like, I don't think he has one. And he goes, well, call his mother and have her sign a permission slip or something because he needs to get on this movie immediately. All I
Decision
pictured
made.
was like,
Meeting adjourned.
all I pictured was Gal signing some form saying, my son can direct this film. And she's crying. And she's like, you know who would have gotten a kick out of this?
Mitch.
I don't know,
Mitch would
Gal,
have been
who?
so proud.
You say that in every episode.
Right? Look, the woman is in mourning. Let her mourn her husband, okay? Like, I mean, she's been in mourning for a while now, but just let it go. Let it go.
I guess you're always in mourning. I mean, but
Yeah.
she was already seeing some other guy, so, and that was during the
Fair
same
point. Fair
season.
point.
So Dawson gets up and he's like, this is not why I came in here today. I did not want this to happen. And Heather says, well, guess what? It did. And opportunities like this don't come along every day. I'd hop on the happy train. Or is being a director not the fulfillment of a dream you've been waiting for your entire life? And Dawson's like, it is. It definitely is. But, and Heather says, well, we'll be in touch. And he's like, fuck. How am I going to explain this to Todd? So Dawson's going to direct an actual Hollywood reshoots of a film. Like
I
he's
mean,
getting.
it's only for a couple of days, but he can do it.
He practically did it anyway with Todd, like you said. He was like, you know, coming up with all those.
He came up with all the solutions, yeah.
So now it's Thursday. We're with Audrey. She's in LA. And guess who's back?
Jack Osborne.
Fucking Jack Osborne's back in this episode. We find out that they're at some party. And Jack's like asking Audrey if her friend is really coming to pick them up because he'd rather just take a cab. Audrey's like, well, how would that work? I'm broke. And that just because you're famous doesn't make me any less broke. And he's like, you're broke? Audrey Liddell's broke. And she's like, yeah. Is that too impossible to believe?
A little bit. Why are you broke? Daddy cut you off?
I don't know why she's broke either. I know that she was having money problems last season, but then all of a sudden she had a house in Florida. So it
Yeah. Well,
didn't
the
make
house
sense.
in Florida was her parents, right? So,
Yeah.
or she meant their her parents were having. I don't know,
I
a hard
thought she
time.
said last season that her parents were going broke. I
I
don't
don't
know.
know. I don't remember because they were partying the entire time. So now I'm not sure.
He says someone's paying too much for their drugs. And she's like, contrary to the popular opinion, I'm not on drugs. She's like, my friend's coming. So listen, if you can just shut up about drugs for the next half hour, I'll sit on your lap on the way home. And Dawson's like, and Jack's like, deal. Jack Osborne's a real creep in this episode. So then Dawson comes over and she's like, Audrey's doing that whole thing where she's like, you came. Like, I can't believe he came. Like, she's acting like, she's got, what's that called? Like, a dog with his tail between their legs. That's kind of what she's acting like.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's just,
She knows she did something terrible.
yeah, like ashamed, but not, I don't know.
She knows she has to face him. Yeah, she's embarrassed. She's ashamed, whatever. So he's like, well, yeah, you called, right? And she goes, I guess the fact that I recently destroyed your house with an automobile must have slipped my mind when I was dialing. She's like, I freaked out, okay? And he's like, then or now? And she's like, both, I guess. And he's like, what are you even doing here? And she's like, in LA or this weird party. She's like, I don't know. One minute we're in the parking lot on Sunset talking to some guys on a limo. The next we're here and it's morning. I freaked and you're the only person I knew who would be in this area code. So then we find out that she hasn't gone back to school yet. Her parents don't even know about it yet. She says she wasn't ready to go back and face the grand tribunal of judgment, meaning all of her friends, because she was being such a fucking cunt to everybody. Like, give me a break, Audrey. Also, I don't know how Dawson is even talking to her after she drove a car through his home.
Again, I'm questioning this as well because if you don't like remember last episode we were talking about this, I'm like, why is nobody more angry?
It's beyond
Like,
me.
why am I angry over this and everybody else is very blasé?
She drove a car through their house.
I know, and
Their
it's just like,
beautiful Cape Cod house on the creek.
and it's just like, oh, it's okay. She's just going through something right now. Like, what? Why? Why is everybody always trying to like
Protect
listen,
everybody. She should have been arrested. Doug was right. He should have taken her in and had her arrested.
that she needs like a smack, not a smack to the face, but a smack to the face. You know, like
She needs a foot up her ass. That's what she needs.
she needs to be able to like realize that what she's doing isn't right. Everybody needs to stop protecting her so much over it because she needs to own up to her actions. You know what I mean? Consequence to action.
Right.
Like, consequence to action. But I mean, whatever. I guess because it was her first major fuck up that they're trying to give her a free pass. But she literally drove a car into somebody's house.
It's insane to me. And like the town, like practically sheriff was there. So
Right.
she's like, you know, I'm ready now and I'm gonna be good from now on. I swear. Just don't be mad or don't be any more mad than you already are. And he's like, okay, but please tell me you realize how bad it is to get into a car full of strangers in a parking lot. I was like, that's all he had to say.
Right, something. And she just, do you notice that when he said that, she didn't like, she just kind of was like I feel like she didn't take it as seriously as she should have with that
No.
type of, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Cut to Joey calling Eddie again. She's like, I'm scared now, Eddie, because you haven't called me back. I just want to make sure you're okay. Okay. It
What was that noise? Did you hear that?
was me. I was echoing.
Oh, gotcha.
Joey echoes all of her words, didn't you know that? Eddie.
Hello, it's me.
Me.
Is it me you're looking for?
Four.
I can see it in her eyes.
Eyes.
Exactly.
So he's not answering. He's just like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Go deal with the ghost of relationships past. Ugh, so dumb. So she goes and sits down with Jack and David because they're having lunch or whatever. Jack's like, did you have any luck? And she's like, when have I ever had any luck with men? To Jack, she says this too. And Jack's like, he'll call back. David's like, there's always a logical explanation for these types of things. So Joey's like, do you guys think you can just like, you know, take care of your bill? Jack's like, pay the bill? Yeah, sure, definitely. She's like, I don't feel well. I just kind of want to leave and get the fuck out of here because, like, this sucks. Okay, this place reminds me of him. It just reminds me of him.
So dramatic about this entire thing. And did you get like the feeling that Jack and
David.
thank you, were trying to like get her away from their table? Or at least Jack.
I felt like David was sort of like, I felt like, so David reminded me in this scene, like somebody who really shows like their true colors to the person about their friends, like right away. Like she's annoying. You know what I mean? He kind of says it in the next, minute. So Jack obviously was kind of like Joey, you are being very depressing right now. Like I'm sitting here with my potential boyfriend. Like this is annoying. Like you're bringing the mood down. But the way David says, like he's not gonna call her. Like
Yeah.
she has to understand that.
Like this
I
is
would,
sad. He's not gonna call by now. He's not gonna call.
yeah. And Jack's just like, you don't know that. He's like, please, we're both guys. And but at the same time, it was just like, well, she needs that little bit of like hope that he might. Like, I don't want to be the person that tells her no.
I
But
mean, at the same time though, they didn't even get into that really big of like a fight. Like I feel like it doesn't make any sense. Like even talking about it a little bit in the future of this episode, like further down the line when she goes there and he's completely moved out, like do you feel, at least from the information that we know about what happened so far, that it makes sense that he would just pack up his things and leave that quick over like a small argument?
no,
That he
I
would
don't
just
know what his
completely
deal
ghost
is.
her?
I think maybe he couldn't afford the apartment anymore because he lost his job.
I
And
feel like something's definitely happened. You know what I mean? That there's more to the story than we know, that he's not just trying to escape her. I'm sure there's more to it, but why hasn't he tried to reach out and be like, don't freak out. I'm okay, but I'm not living here anymore. And like, I'm not ignoring you.
I mean, I think
But he's
maybe
kind
he's
of
just.
ignoring her. So I don't.
Okay, so I think it makes Joey look kind of pathetic because she's so desperate to talk to him. I don't think that they ended on such terrible terms where what he's doing is right because
Right.
they didn't technically break up, but he was sort of like, I need to go away. But I don't know why she just doesn't say like, fuck you. Like, you don't want to answer your phone, then go fuck yourself.
Okay, but in retrospective, we're talking about a female who, up until now, has been in this slow burn type of relationship where she doesn't give up the cookie until way, way later. Okay. This guy, she makes a leap, she gives it up. They don't even have like a defined relationship. They're meeting each other's pa family. In this case, he met hers. There's an argument. And we have to think about how much time has lapsed. We're talking about Christmas, and now winter break is over and they're all back in school.
It's
She hasn't
January
talked to
now.
him since then. Right. So we're
Oh, what, like
talking
a week?
a minimum at least a week that he hasn't responded to her. I mean, I would probably feel some kind of way too. I wouldn't be blowing up his phone because I have, some self-esteem. But she literally gives it up, is like really starting to like this guy. And he's just like, this is too much. It's too much. Like, he's got commitment issues, clearly. She wasn't reading the flags. I just like, I understand her and I don't agree with him because he's completely ghosting her now. And I don't think that that's cool. When all he
I don't
does is,
think it is either.
even if he's busy, if he gave a shit at all it takes is a 2-minute phone call of your time. You mean to tell me you
Yeah.
don't have 2 minutes to call her back and be like, hey, listen, this is what's going on. I'm really busy. I had to move. I got stuff going on. Like, I will reach back out to you when I'm settled and situated, but I am alive and I'm okay and I'm not ignoring you. End phone call.
I
Like, there's
mean,
no reason for it.
I agree
There's
with you. I think he
together.
could just say to her, look, I just needed time to be away and, I'm sorry. And just give her that
Something, give her
comfort
something,
in
give her
knowing that he's
something.
okay.
You guys started down this relationship road, and now all of a sudden it's too much, and then this is where we are.
Thank God she didn't lose her virginity to
Oh, right? Yeah, that would have been a fucking mess. I
him.
don't like this guy. Like, his maturity level is just, it's killing me, man. It's killing me.
Well, he does only own one jacket and it's a vest. It's not even a real jacket.
Stupid, ugly vest.
Oh
Hate
my
that
God.
vest.
So, David's like, well, that was, oh, we already said this. David's like, that was depressing. And there's nothing sadder than someone waiting for a phone call that's never going to come. And Jack's like, orphans, sick orphans. Plus, we don't know if this guy's not going to call. And David says, oh, please, we're guys, aren't we? How many people have you hooked up with and never called? And Jack's like, a few.
Danger, danger, danger,
No,
Will
this is a
Robinson,
conversation.
danger.
They just met. Like, this
I
isn't.
know. That's a dangerous conversation.
He's like, look, I went out a lot this summer, all right? I didn't call a few of the guys back. Look, if a straight guy did it, it'd be charming. You meet someone, you think you're gonna like them. And David says, and after a closer examination, you don't. And Jack's like, yeah. And David says, but only after closer examination. And Jack says, basically, are you gonna lecture me? And David's like, do you want one? And Jack's like, no. And they're like, fine, fine. That went somewhere that it didn't need to go, though. I felt like it
Yeah.
was so ridiculous. Like, just because you work at a helpline doesn't mean I need to hear your lectures, David. Like, you don't know anything about me and my personal life, and I don't know anything about you and your personal life. Look, we're going to get tested together and making sure that we're healthy. Like, give me a break. It's so stupid.
Again, we're like in this weird relationship thing where they're being serious and not at the same time. I don't get it.
Joey's leaving Hell's Kitchen. She's got her bucket hat on. She's got a brown bucket hat on. I swear it's from the second season. I'm not sure. And she sees Harley. Harley's like, yeah, you ratted me out. And she's like, I don't care. I'm not leaving you here with a potential date rapist. So she grabs her coat and she's like, let's go. We're leaving. So they leave. Pacey and Emma at the aquarium again. This aquarium storyline is for the birds, man. Like, I am so over this aquarium storyline.
We've never seen him go to the aquarium until now.
Every scene that came up, I was like, oh God, they're at the fucking aquarium again.
Pretty much, they just live there now.
It's so stupid. So he's like, I can't believe that you talked me into staying for this yesterday, because he's clearly doing it again. He goes, what's the big deal? Big fish eating little fish. This is why you come here every day? And she's like, if it was big company eating little company, you'd love it. And he's like, I don't come here every day. She goes, oh my God. She goes, and I don't come here every day, not normally, only when I have a hangover. And he's like, well, what is this week all about? A special occasion? She asks what it's all for. What is it all for? If what you've told me over the last few days is true, then you've changed your entire life, and I'm not entirely sure why.
What is the point?
And he says,
The
how the hell
point,
did
I
I
tell
know?
you.
Why does anyone change their life? Why do people dye their hair purple? She says, to piss off me mom, or to try and be someone else. Yeah, remember individuality, Emma?
Yeah, right. What happened to that? So it's just to piss somebody off. It's not because you want to.
Or to try and be someone else. That's my point. That was my point in that whole episode. Individuality means nothing when you're basically copying someone else.
Right.
He says, for me, it would be the latter. She's like, why would you want to be someone else? And he says, because that's a part of growing up. Pacey at 15 was kind of a schmuck. Bad haircut, bad Hawaiian shirts, broke all the time, dumb enough to be chasing after things that he knew he would never get anyway. And he
Oh,
says,
geez.
she says, mostly women, I suppose. And he goes,
Just one woman.
no, he goes, there's a few girls. Oh, there was one woman, but a few girls. Emma says, I don't think you were that bad, this person you used to be. He actually sounds kind of nice.
He was nice.
He was a really good guy in high school when he was with Andy and for a minute with Joey, and then he turned into a total asshole.
Yeah.
And Pacey's like, maybe I was. Maybe he was, occasionally. She says, you still could be. Quit the job. Get rid of the goatee. Grow back the terrible haircut. And he says, what if I told you it was all meant to be?
And it was only just dreams.
Well, we're singing two different songs.
Yes, we are.
He says, what if I told you I was actually thinking about that lately? I don't think I'd believe you unless you showed up here tomorrow, promptly at 1 p.m., wearing some wretched Hawaiian t-shirt. And he's like, oh, okay. Is this what you want me to do? So now Jen's taking live calls. Her first caller hangs up on her and she's annoyed. And CJ's like, someone probably walked in the room. You're doing fine. Oh, this scene gave me PTSD from when I was learning how to talk or take calls in the contact center.
Right.
I was like, oh no, I'm getting the shakes.
Not again.
remember sitting with you and I was like, I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever started taking phone calls, my palms were so sweaty.
Mine
I kept
too.
like wiping them on my jeans or my pants, my work, because I have nice work pants. I lied, they weren't jeans yet. We weren't allowed to wear those yet. And
No.
wiping them there so I could grab the mouse again. And then I'm like, okay, let me place you in a brief hold while I look into that for you. I'll be right back. And then I'm like, crap, where do I
What
look
do I
again? Where am
do?
I going? What am I doing?
Oh my God, I remember when I first started on the phone and they were like asking billing shit, and like I wasn't used to looking at all that, so I
Yeah.
remember asking for a lot of help and I was just like, oh my God, I don't know anything. But then like you do it more and more and you become like a
You get
pro
used
at
to
it.
it. Yeah, I still
Before
tell
you know
people.
it, I was setting up fucking bill plans for people, sending them documents like on the fly.
Yeah.
Send me an email real quick and I'll send you that document. I just need proof, okay? I'll send it over as soon as you send me that email. Got it, thanks. What's that bill plan you want? I'll write it out for you in this email.
Yeah.
I really was good on the phone, I'm not gonna
You did. You did good. You got it done
lie.
effectively, efficiently. It was like taking your chat conversations and putting it into verbal correspondence.
Oh yeah, once I started on the phone, the chat conversations were a breeze. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
I remember I was afraid to do the chats too when I first started, because I was like, wait, we actually have to like do this? Like, what is this?
I lived for the chats. Give me chats and emails all day. Just I
Oh, me
hate
too.
phones. Yeah.
So yeah, he's like, you're doing fine, Jen. Like, don't worry about it. But she's spazzing out. She's like freaking out. And then the phone rings again and she's like, I don't want to answer it. He says it's probably her again. She'll want to talk to you. She'll want to talk to you again. She's like, I don't want to. I don't want to do this. So then he picks it up. He literally confirms everything that he said. He's like, call back in 10 minutes.
Well, because apparently there was like people there or whatever, where who the person, the caller had like people around. They're like, "We'll call back, in 10 minutes or when you're done, and I'll be here."
Yeah. And then he says something about Jen. He's like, look, it's her first day. She's a little high strung. Cut her a break or something.
Yeah.
And Jen looks at him like, whatever. Joey and Harley are walking around Boston, the bad area of Boston, because we discover, Harley says, that every third store they're passing is selling liquor. Shouldn't that indicate to you that we're not in such a great part of town?
We're not in Kansas anymore.
And Joey says, well, you wanted to walk on the wild side, so we're here. So then they're at Eddie's apartment, and Joey's ringing the buzzer. Harley's like, Eddie Doling, apartment, blah, blah, blah. Harley says, you told me you didn't know where he was. And she's like, I don't. That's why we're here. And she's like, you haven't heard of a telephone? And Joey says, I tried that. But when a girl leaves a whole slew of unreturned voice, but when a girl return, ugh.
We both can't speak today.
She says, I tried that. But when a girl leaves a whole slew of unreturned voicemail messages for someone she thought was her boyfriend, Harley says, boyfriend? Uh-oh, that means one thing, you slept with him. And Joey's like, what did you just say? And Harley says, I asked if you slept with the boy, had sex, gone all the way. Joey says, I thought that's what you said. And Harley says, so what's the problem? And Joey says, oh, nothing. I had forgotten what a sophisticated woman of the world you are. Hell, I bet you're probably not even a virgin. I say you probably lost it years ago to a trucker named Bubba, right? And Harley's like, what are you talking about? What a callback to the pilot.
Baba.
Jen, are you a virgin? Excuse me.
Oh,
How about you, Joey? Are you? And she goes, oh yeah, years ago, trucker named Bubba.
I remember that. That's funny.
And they're walking to the movies. So Harley's just staring at her, and she's like, I don't get it. And Joey's like, you're not supposed to. Just go. I'm not in the mood for this. And they walk up to Eddie's apartment. It's completely empty. Harley's like, what? Oh no, before they get into the apartment, Harley says, so what? Because I'm 15, I can't talk about sex. And Joey says, no, you can talk about it. Then at 19, you can look back and realize what an idiot you sounded like. I thought that was funny. So Joey's knocking on his front door and it just opens. And we find out that the apartment is completely empty. And Joey is in total utter shock by that.
Yeah,
And,
he packed his whole life up and was out like shout.
Eddie had some pretty cool brick shelves hanging up on his wall, didn't he? Those people make Shelves with those big bricks. What are they called?
What?
You know those big bricks that have like the holes on either side, and people
Cinder blocks?
cinder blocks. That's it. I
Like
knew that's what they were called.
bricks.
Had
Ah.
cinder
Yeah,
block
cinder blocks.
shelves happening on his wall, which is so classy in that place. So
I
classy.
mean, when you're strapped for cash.
Harley's like, "Well, what's the big deal? We got the wrong apartment." And Joey's like, "Joey's on like another planet right now." And Harley's like, "Joey, Joey."
Earth to Joey.
Joey, and Joey's just like this with her big bucket hat on.
I was just here. What happened?
I just had sex with him over there, there, there. I know.
These walls have seen me naked.
And they saw me freak out when I realized I was late for my exam. Well, now it's Friday. We cut to Pacey at work. He's in his Hawaiian shirt and he's got his hair all like different and he's watching the clock and it looks like it's almost 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock, doesn't it? Isn't it? It's almost 12. Like it's almost his lunchtime.
Yeah, looked like it.
Well, Rich comes over and drops off more work to him. Rich is a fucking scumbag. He tells him just because you decided to take a mini vacation doesn't mean the work doesn't end. And Pacey's like, "Rich, I told you I was sick." And Rich is like, "I don't care. I don't get sick. People like you get sick because you're disgusting." And he says, "Pacey, you have to work." He basically tells Pacey that he has to work on his lunch hour, which I said earlier is completely illegal. So then Rich says, "Here's your," he hands him his W-2. He's like, this is around the time where you get this." And he hands him his W-2, and Pacey's like, "What is it?" And he goes, "If you want to go back to a previous life as a fry cook, go for it. But the only lunches you'll be catering are in your mind." He's such a
This
creep.
guy's such a tool, dude. I don't like him.
Oh my God. He's like reminding him how much money he made so far. He just started.
And how much money is this guy making off of him to treat him like that? You know what I mean?
Look, there's no way that a manager or a boss would speak to their employees like this without getting fired. And
Yeah.
the fact that none of them, because they're in such a raw environment, that none of them are complaining about this says that they're all a bunch of fucking pussies. Because it's called toxic masculinity. And two, it's called an unhealthy, toxic work environment. Like, nobody can work in that type of environment. Like,
No,
if
I
the
agree.
boss
And
was coming over there saying all this nasty shit to me every day, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. Like,
we haven't, like, have you seen any actual females work in that room where they are? Or is it just all men?
no, I've seen receptionists. There was a receptionist.
Just the receptionist, though, the typical female job. I mean, like, any
There's
other woman.
no female stockbrokers,
Right. Who forgot?
which is insane, by the way. And what does that say about Rich? Oh, right, he hates women.
For real. All he cares about is hookers,
Yep.
throwing them at other people.
So we cut to Emma at the aquarium. She's waiting for Pacey. She's got on like a one of those hats. Those like round hats. She looks like, "Please, sir, may I have some more?" Oliver Twist. And she's looking over and she sees somebody in a Hawaiian shirt. She thinks it's Pacey. It's not Pacey. But alas, Pacey never shows. He doesn't show up for her.
Casey had work to do.
Which I would have said, go fuck yourself. I'm taking my lunch.
Yeah, well, Pacey likes the fact that he's getting paid.
Well, that's what makes Pacey a fucking schmuck again.
He'll figure it out eventually.
So Jen and CJ are at the stand again. All their scenes are at the helpline, okay? She's doing nothing. He's reading. I thought she was crocheting at first, but she's playing with the strings on her shirt. I was like,
Yeah.
I wrote Jen's crocheting and CJ's reading a book, and then when they got a like close up there, I was like, oh, she's not crocheting. She's playing with the strings on her coat.
Dang, I thought maybe Grams taught her something.
I know. Plus, I thought she did crochet on the show before. I don't
I don't
know.
remember.
She's like, I thought the phones would ring some more. And CJ's like, it doesn't really work like that. It doesn't really work like that, Jen. Think about how stubborn people are, how hard it is for them to ask for help or actually admit that they're wrong about something. She's like, yeah, you're probably right.
Whatever, dude.
And he goes, "Oh, it's almost 4 p.m. Caffeine fix?" And she's like, "What?" She's like, "Are you asking me if I want some coffee?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm gonna go out to the coffee cart and get some coffee for us." That's not what he sounds like.
You know what?
He
You know
talks
what
like
you kind of
this.
remind me of when you talk like that?
What?
Do you ever see Men in Black?
Oh, not really.
Oh, you gotta look up the Edgar suit.
Oh, I did look that up. We talked about that on here before I had to look it up. Yeah.
Yeah, like that guy. Oh, I want some sugar. More sugar.
So yeah, he goes out to the coffee cart, which is like literally right outside the building. And she's like, "You're not leaving me." And he's like, "Yeah, I am." And
Peace out, Cub Scout.
she's like, "No, you're not, because you'll leave, and then the phone will ring, and I'll have to take the call and talk to them, which is why you shouldn't leave." And he goes, "A week ago you couldn't stand being in the same room as me, and now you don't want me to leave." And she's like, "That was a week
Don't toot
ago."
your own horn, buddy.
I know. She's like, "That was a week ago. Can a person change in a week?" And he goes, "I don't know. Can she?"
God, he's such a pain in the ass.
So he leaves. Of course, the phone rings. She picks it up. Nobody else picks up the phone. I guess because she's is at her desk, but like nobody's like rooting for her. She's just like they're all like still like sort of in their own like world.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
They're not like, "Jen, you can do this. Answer the
Oh, I guess
phone."
they just want to let her be because it'll be too much pressure if everybody's standing there waiting for her to answer a call.
Yes.
I mean, could you imagine when you were learning how to do this stuff that, like, if you had people surrounding you while you're trying to take your first phone calls, that would be like.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I'd be like, "Get away from me. I don't want you to
Exactly.
do."
It's too much pressure, under pressure.
So he's watching her from like outside, and he sees her talking on the phone, and he's just like, "I knew she could do it. I knew it." I was like, "This is gonna be so annoying that they're like being friendly." Ugh, I don't know. I still don't like him. I still find him to be such a loser.
I personally don't remember him being in the show this many episodes.
No, neither. Honestly,
When did
Jamie, I
this
forgot he was
happen?
even on the show.
Right, exactly.
I think right after this, a couple of years later, he got Supernatural, so he must have had to deal with them. Oh, you know what? He was on Smallville too.
That, yeah, that's right.
I think he was on
For a couple.
Smallville after this. I don't know. I gotta look that up, but I know he was on there as a featured cast member. Jack and David are at the clinic. He's clean, no HIV. They're both clean. They
Good
celebrate.
job, boys.
So Jack's like, "Has your opinion changed after we talked yesterday?" David's like, "Yeah, right. Like, I couldn't tell from a mile away that you were gonna end up being way sluttier than me." And Jack's like, "What?"
He's definitely way prettier.
He is. I mean, Jack really is cute. David says, "Give me a little credit. Look at you. You're ridiculously good looking. You're no Viggo Mortensen." And Jack's like, "We're not talking about this right now." And David starts to say something, and then Jack cuts him off by kissing him. And he goes, "Shut up. Shut up."
Just stop running your mouth.
And David's like, "I think I can do that. Put your penis in my mouth." Jack's like, "I can do that."
On your knees, peon.
Yeah. "Let's go. Let's do Yeah. They start to get into like domination stuff. Typical gay sex behavior. Hetson's giving a lecture, and he calls on Joey to give an example from their reading. Somehow she relates it back to her situation with Eddie, because she says all this stuff about death and loss, and she's like, "It just keeps happening over and over again, like a vicious cycle. People leave, people die."
Girls
And
have abandonment issues, man, but honestly, I don't blame her.
no. Wait, do you remember in the first season in Beauty Contest when Dawson's interviewing her, and she's just like, he's like, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" And she's like, "I don't know. Like in another state or whatever, maybe mining the caves of blah blah blah." Like she says all this crazy stuff. And she's like, "People grow up, people live, people die, Dawson. Like you grow up." She's like doing the same thing. So Hudson stops her on her way out and he's like handing her $50 and she's like, "What's this?" And he goes, "Look, I know you're poor, but don't tell me you're so poor you've never seen $50 before."
He's such an asshole.
I thought that was so funny. She's like, "What's that in your
Oh my
hand?"
gosh.
She's a
What?
fucking
Why are
waitress.
you handing me funds?
Like
Cash dollar bills, y'all.
she's never seen money before.
And it's really fun to see really old $50 bills because they don't look like that anymore. Like our money doesn't look like that anymore.
Didn't even notice it. Of
Oh, I always
course,
look now.
you noticed it.
No, weird stuff. That's me.
So he's like, "I'm giving it to you for taking care of Harley while I was teaching yesterday." He's like, "You helped her out with something, like she was in a crisis or something." And she goes, "She was having a crisis?" And he goes, "Yeah, please just take the money. It would be a whole lot easier for me than trying to be nice to you for the rest of the semester." So then she takes it and she goes, "Why would you be nice to me?" And he says, "Because as you pointed out the other day, this isn't really about me. Her mother's gone and her father," and Joey says, "is a gigantic scuzz bucket." And he says, "Yes, mostly according to her." Yeah. He says, "Yeah, mostly according to her." He goes, "You, she seems to like." She says, "Yeah, well, I'm very likable. Likable and poor." So then he says, "I'll give you $50 three times a week." And she goes, "65, and I'll help her with her homework. Not that she'll need help from a D student." So then she gives him back the $50. She's like, "Here, yesterday was free of charge." And he's like, "No, really, just take it." And she's like, "No, I don't want it." And he goes, "What? What was it, like a girl thing?" And she goes, "No, it was a human being thing." And then she leaves.
Well said, well said.
I thought she was going to say something you don't know about, but they just had this like weird interaction. So I thought it would have been weird if she ended on that.
Yeah, you definitely don't need to spark more questions than necessary, considering she had him on the not so nice side of town at a guy's would-be apartment, without daddy knowing. Just taking her on try-ups through town.
Dawson finds Todd on the beach surfing and he goes and he apologizes and Todd says, "For what? Stealing my job? Stealing my job."
Oh, well, he figured that out quickly.
He goes, "After you turned them down, they called me and apologized." And Dawson says, "So what are we doing? The reshoot? Are we doing the reshoots here or whatever?" And Todd says, "We're not doing anything." That's not how he talks. He goes, "We're not doing anything. You are." That's not how he sounds either. I have to hear his voice in my head. And Dawson says, "I'm not going to do this, Todd." And Todd says, "What? Not going to benefit from being in the right place at the right time? It's all it is, you know. It doesn't mean you're actually going places or that you're more talented than me." And Dawson
Jeez, that
says,
guy's rude. So
Dawson
mean.
goes, "God, no, you're barely functional, but you're like my mentor." And Todd says, "What about Steven Bloody Spielberg?" Dawson says, "Well, he hasn't been returning my calls lately." Todd says, "Just don't make it any worse, okay? And the first thing you absolutely have to do when you get on set is take a picture of Natasha's face at the exact moment that she's introduced to her new director, because that's something I bloody need to see."
I
I was
think
like, "That
that's something we
was good."
all need to see because he's right, man. Now he's in charge.
I know, I thought that was great.
He's not just the help.
Exactly.
He
Yeah.
the boss.
Dawson? No, he's just a production assistant. Why would I be fucking him? Ew.
Right.
So Todd's like, "You coming or what?" And they're like walking along the beach. And I guess he's got a house on the beach. I don't know. And we get the end credits. And next episode is number 12, All the Right Moves.
I like the way you move. Do 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 do.
Now, you know what it reminded me of? In Scream, when what's her face? Rose McGowan says, she calls Sydney and she goes, "I rented Tom Cruise in All the Right Moves. If you pause it just right, you can see his penis." Oh my God,
Oh.
I'm losing my mind. I cannot think of what her name is in that movie now. It starts with a T.
What else is she in?
Rose McGowan? She was in Charm. She was in
Oh, yeah. Wait, what movie was it? Shit.
Scream. It's like my favorite movie. I can't think of her name in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Taylor. Tatum. Oh, I was gonna say Taylor.
Tatum.
Like Shannon Tatum? No, not Shannon Tatum. I'm making shit up. No, Channing Tatum. Yeah,
Channing
cool.
Tatum.
Channing Tatum. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
All
Oh
right.
my
Well,
gosh.
Jamie, final thoughts on this episode?
I liked it, and Todd's right. I really can't wait to see her face. I don't know if they'll show it to us, but I really kind of can't wait to see her face when he says that he's, the head honcho after this.
I know.
Next episode, I'm assuming we're gonna get some kind of closure on what happened with Eddie. And yeah, I don't really know what's going on with Pacey and his roommate.
I
I
wish
feel like
that
they're like
we.
almost trying to test the waters to see if people are gonna be receptive to the relationship, and then they're not, and then they just like say, all right, ixnay on the chick.
I don't see them being a real couple. I think it was just one
No.
of those things. I don't
I
know. Like,
guess.
hooked up. I don't
They
know.
just said, what can we do with Pacey this episode? I know. Let him get to know his roommate, but then we're going to take the roommate away soon. She's not going to be the roommate anymore.
But we never did learn what happens at 1 p.m. at the aquarium.
Oh, yeah. We've got questions now. When don't we have questions?
I kept trying to. I was like, what the fuck's gonna happen at 1 p.m.? I'm so confused. Well, I enjoyed it. I am not happy that CJ is still on the show. I do know Eddie comes back because I looked up the episode, so.
Yeah, he comes back. We get some kind of an explanation. I just don't know what it is.
And I'm kind of excited to see Jack and David. And see where their relationship goes. David's kind of growing on me. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of like him. All right, well, Jamie, before we leave, we got an email from one of our Patreon members.
Yay!
So Megan wrote us and said, "I've been meaning to send y'all a message since I subscribed a year ago. Obviously, I'm not the best at remembering things. You asked in the newest episode about what hooked us and when we started listening. I started listening when there were only two episodes out. Two! Two
You
episodes.
are amazing, and we love you just for that
I had
alone.
just started a rewatch and wanted other people to experience it with. I instantly loved your friendship and the off-topic talking." Oh, somebody
Everybody
likes our
loves it.
off-topic talking.
Everybody loves our off-topic nonsense. I love it. Oh,
I joined your Patreon after the episode about the high school ski trip. Steven said something like, "The kids were bananas," and all I could picture were all the kids in banana costumes. Jamie also got me with having to say boogie woogie anytime someone says it's electric because I do the same thing. So Megan sent us kind of a personal message at the end of her email, which I'm not going to share. It's really funny, but I don't think I should include it. So I'm
no,
not.
we're not
But
aware of it.
it's really funny though. I'm not gonna lie. But anyway.
We appreciate you sharing. We all have relatable instances, I'm sure, at some point.
Well, when I read it,
I've
I
never
was
been caught, though, I'm just saying.
when I read it, I was like, this girl would fit in with us. Like,
Oh,
really.
for sure.
But we appreciate you sending us that email and just letting us know how much you enjoy listening to us and when you started listening to us and why you're still listening to us and paying a subscription to our Patreon every month. Because it means so much that you're even doing that. Like, we appreciate all of our patrons so much, and it means a lot to us. So,
We really do appreciate it. Anytime anybody wants to reach out to us, or even just that you're listening and you're giving us those views, and then you're commenting and just being social and engaging. We love you guys. Thank you for being here for real,
yeah.
regardless of the dumb shit that we say.
Yeah. And we like that you like our dumb banter. So.
Yeah, we love that. We're so glad. Because honestly, when we first started, we're like, are we talking too much off topic? Like, this is completely not what this podcast is about. But it's just turning into our personality. So.
And people were like, it's really long. I was like,
Yeah, we were getting that a lot too. It's really long,
I
but at
don't
the
care. I love it.
end of the day, I love it. I love it.
All right, Jamie. Well, we can end the episode there. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Course, so you can find me on Jlyn underscore book lover right on Instagram, and you can get to all of the handles and things that I'm involved in right on my link tree link in my bio.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
And if you want to follow us, you can find us on Instagram and on Threads at Creek Talk Podcast and on Twitter at Creek Talk Pod. You can also join our Facebook group and engage with us over there. If you want to send us any type of feedback or any type of story you want us to read on our next episode, you can email us at creektalkpodcast@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram. We love reading those messages. And if you're feeling generous, you can always give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star rating on Spotify because it really helps us out like so much. So please go do that for us. We would greatly appreciate it. And if you want to be super generous, like Megan, you can join our Patreon. We're at the $5 level. You will be getting exclusive monthly bonus content as well as early access to our monthly episodes. And we're currently finishing this week the 2002 series Glory Days, Jamie, and then we're on to our next show. So
I know what is happening.
I know. Everything's ending. Everybody dies, Dawson. Everybody grows up.
Every ending has a new beginning, or whatever that episode was.
Was the end of something simple and the beginning of everything else.
Yeah, that's it.
Just go to our link tree and any of our bios, and you'll find everything over there. But for now, thank you for listening. We hope everybody has a great weekend. And, don't ghost people if you're breaking up with them or, return their phone calls because, people might think you're dead. Just answer your goddamn
Unless they're
phone.
absolutely psycho, like a restraining order, don't be that person that's like, I'm gonna sleep with you and then I'm gonna have one little argument and then I'm just gonna pick up and move. Like, don't do that. Don't be that person.
Don't be an Eddie.
Don't be an Eddie.
Don't be an Eddie.
There's our public service announcement for today. Please don't be an Eddie.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with an all new episode of Creek Talk Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Stop. Anyway.
Talking about the creek, creek talk, talking about the creek, creek talk, talking about the creek, talking about Dawson's Creek.